Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, fired up by Harvest Ridge Coffee and Refreshment Services Pepsi. And the Quincy Fire Department is here today. Brian Meyer is back. Always enjoy it when Brian is on the show, giving us some safety tips. And a new firefighter, just kind of witnessing the greatness of the Mary Griffith Show, Zach Valcamp. And indeed, firefighting kind of runs in your family blood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yep, between my dad and my great-grandpa as well. Yep, I'm the third one now.
Third Valcamp to be in the Quincy Fire Department. Of course, your dad's retiring as chief. Don't you wish it could be like the king and he could just make you the chief?
No, not quite there. Yep, I like where I'm at.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, we're going to talk today to Brian Meyer, but I want to ask you a question. This happened yesterday. I was sitting at Blessing Physician Services there at, you know, about 9th and Broadway, and I was in a room with some very, very elderly people who are very ill, and the fire alarm went off. Everyone remained very calm. I mean, most of the people in the waiting room weren't really capable of jumping up and running, even if that had been suggested. The staff took care of it. They calmly got up. They closed out the doors. They did their whole protocol to how to seal off their area whenever the fire alarm goes off. And, of course, it was deafening because there was no way to stop it. And so after about a minute or so, it did stop. And then not long after that, the sound of the sirens coming down to Blessing Physician Services. The good news is there was absolutely no fire. The bad news is some selfish idiot, some moron, had to have a cigarette and couldn't go just stand outside the door. And so started that whole chain of reaction. And so, Brian Meyer, I just was curious, when that alarm goes off at a place like Blessing where a large number of older or ill people are, is that an automatic trigger that the fire department responds, or does somebody have to actually call you?
So places like Blessing, Lincoln Douglas apartments, they do have alarm services that are monitoring the building. And then that a smoke alarm or something like that gets triggered, and that alarm services then calls into our dispatch and says, hey, this is what we have. It's just a, and they relay whatever information they have. So whether, if they're zoned properly, it's like second floor or hallway or something like that. And then that's relayed to us. And then that's how we're, that's how we respond. That's how we know, okay, you know, if it's a multiple smoke detectors going off, then we think it might be more of a problem than just a single smoke detector.
Uh-oh, this interview could be over very quickly. Do you need to take that call? We could take a break.
We're on second alarm status, so
okay.
We're fine.
Okay.
There's four other trucks that can handle it.
Okay. Well, some idiot's probably smoking again in Blessing Hospital. They don't need
Those tones sound like it's a medical alarm and not a medical call and not a fire call.
Okay.
So.
Well, I guess the thing that was irritating to me was it really wasn't that upsetting to the people in the waiting room, but I remember thinking of myself as one of the few able-bodied people there. I thought to myself, what would I do if we had to move these humanoids from this area? I mean, obviously you guys would be there by the time anything like that really had to happen. But so most major places like the Lincoln Douglas here, where there's lots of older people, or Blessing, where there's a large, could be a potential large loss of life, they have an alarm system that triggers that those people call you. It's not direct to you, but it's almost direct to you.
It's they call the dispatch, and the dispatch relays it to us. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And places like Blessing, they're built to a certain fire code that allows them to shelter in place and, you know, section off the portions of the building. So that way, if there is a fire, it's not so much an evacuation of the whole building, it's an evacuation of certain areas, and there's other places to shelter in place until they can determine what needs to happen.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, the ladies that were working there got up very calmly, and they closed the doors. They walked around and closed all the doors and kind of, you know, nobody was walking around anymore. Everybody was kind of sequestered. The whole incident only lasted, you know, about 2.5 minutes until they realized what had happened. And so it's just nice to know, you talk about speedy response. I mean, the fire alarm went off, and within 30 seconds, I could hear your sirens coming, probably out of Central, you know, station. And again, how many units would be sent on something like that depends on the technology of how many alarms are sounding and how many floors are affected and stuff like that, so that you guys kind of know, you're going to come anyway, but you kind of want to know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, so a single smoke detector is more than likely going to be, and if it's just a automatic alarm like that, it's most likely going to be a single engine company response, that mm-hmm. local district engine company, so like Central for Blessing's area, Blessing's main building. And but if you have more smoke detectors going off, or you get a phone call saying there's smoke in the hallway, something like that, then you're going to get a what we call a general alarm, and that's going to be at least three engine companies showing up.
Because the response time is so critical. You can't wait to see if it's a full-fledged conflagration. You'd rather come and have it be nothing than delay the response and have it be something. That's definitely not your modus operandi at Quincy
so,
Fire.
Fires double in size for every minute that they go unchecked. So our response times are pretty quick for that initial engine company showing up, because mm-hmm. we are located strategically throughout the city to provide fast response times to limit the damage of a fire. And that's why we have five stations spread all across town. And if we all ran out of Central Fire Station and it was a call on the north end of town, south end of town, or east end of town.
And the east is growing,
east is growing. And then that fire would just grow unchecked and unchecked for longer periods of time. And then we're talking about a very serious fire instead of maybe just a room and contents fire. So,
well, you'll be happy to know that the staff at Blessing, at least where I was, handled it very well and kept everybody, nobody was panicked. I mean, most of the time when a smoke alarm goes off or a fire alarm goes off, I think people are kind of, it's probably a false alarm. And again, it was somebody smoking. Now, my next question is there a fine or a penalty that can be assessed against that person if they have them on video surveillance doing that, smoking in a building, and they cause that kind of, you know, because it was icy yesterday. You guys have other things you're doing. I mean, you don't, that's your job to come to a fire, but, you know, you can, a lot of stupid people smoking in an area where you're not supposed to smoke could cause a lot of, you know, fire response. Is there any way to punish? Because I want to really punish them. I really do.
Not the Quincy Fire Department. No, we don't have a method to fine people for burning, for outside burning, burning leaves, stuff like that. We do have violations mm-hmm. that we can give the person, but we don't actually do the fining. We have to call Quincy Police Department to do the fining of that. And I don't have an answer for smoking indoors.
Okay. Well,
I feel like that might be an Illinois statute.
If I find out who it is, my rage. You know how you talk about fire doubles every minute? My rage doubled every 30 seconds while I was sitting there going, why are you being mean to all these poor old people who are just here trying to get better?
So, yeah, those fire alarms are very loud. They do a great job of alerting you when something's going on, but when there's not a problem, when there's not an actual problem going on and it's still going off, it's deafening.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, again, it definitely got everybody's attention. Brian Meyer, my guest today, along with Zach Valcamp from the Quincy Fire Department. I'm sure today you came with something to talk about besides my rage at people who are stupid and can't allow a snowplow to clear the parking lot and or smoke in a building where obviously smoking is not allowed. What did you have in mind today?
Just some winter weather advisory stuff. Slip, trips, and falls. It's icy out, snow's on the ground, businesses and people try to do their best to clear the snow out in front of their storefronts and all that stuff. But just a reminder, make sure you have sure footing. Just be careful. If you don't need to go out, don't go out. That's always the best thing, especially when the roads were like they were this morning while I was coming to work. They were still pretty slick.
And yeah, my husband drove me in this morning. I said, I can make it. He goes, I know you probably can, but that's a great thing. Yeah. And I didn't have a husband until I was 53, so I take advantage of that every time. But again, we said this when they had the big snow earlier this week. Don't go out if you don't have to. But people just naturally want to do it. I don't know what the story is. Now, there's also no law in Quincy, apparently, that requires you to clear your sidewalk or anything like that. And sometimes I find that if they scrape it down and then it ices over, I'd rather have 2 inches of snow to walk through than an eighth of an inch of ice. Obviously most businesses will throw out some kind of, you know, gripping or salt or something, mm-hmm. sand or something. What do you recommend? And there's no requirement that anybody do that, though.
No, there is no requirement. And we don't want to push anything out saying, you know, you should do this or you shouldn't do this. But what we would like to, you know, just advise people is that just be careful when you are shoveling snow. You might think, you know, it's below freezing. You're going to bundle up with 7 different layers of clothes, and 15 minutes into it, you're starting to get hot, you're starting to get sweaty, and then all of a sudden you're working a lot harder. And we do see from time to time people do have cardiac issues, overexertion, because of trying to move all that snow and they're bundled up too much. So don't go out there and, you know, work yourself to death trying to get that snow cleared.
We talk about that a lot, how the cold weather constricts your blood vessels. So maybe the places like your face, you know, the blood vessels are constricting. Well, then your heart's got to pump even harder, but then you're shoveling snow, and that's got to be a busy time. Did you have a lot of calls on snow shoveling day, or are people kind of taking it easier?
I'll be honest, I wasn't working the last time we had snow, right. So I can't tell you how many calls we had.
Brian, please don't come here with your "I had the day off" attitude. I had to come. I'm the idiot who comes to work and says, "Everybody else stay home. It's not safe to be out there." But I came, but you guys all stay home. So I think a lot of that is just, you know, common sense. We have to use some common sense. How hard is it? Like, if you came to my house right now, we have our driveway cleared, but we really don't care if anybody comes to visit. So we have not done a thing with our, like, sidewalk and porch. So do you guys have trouble sometimes getting to fires or getting to people who need medical assistance because their steps aren't cleared or, you know, whatever? I mean, there again, you don't want them to clear the steps and give themselves a heart attack, but if they need some help from you, it's nice to have some passage up to the house. Is this a problem in a day like today when you're fighting a fire?
Fighting fire, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a problem. If we do end up, you know, starting to get ice and stuff, we do call central services and they'll bring salt trucks out and help bring salt out, and we'll, you know, spread some salt, limit that ice buildup around the trucks and everything.
Because that water is going to turn to ice.
Yep. And then, like, so medical calls and stuff, yeah, some driveways or walkways aren't cleared sometimes, and that's not a problem. We got shovels on the trucks, and once we realize that, once we make sure that whoever's called isn't needing life-saving treatment like CPR or something like that, or when the ambulance shows up, we can think about helping out, clearing a path, so that way we can get the stretcher in and make it safe for us to help transport somebody out of the house and into the ambulance.
I imagine sometimes you have to go through the garage.
Yep, sometimes.
You know, the driveway's clear, and there is access to the house through the garage. It may not be the best entrance, but it's more accessible than taking a shovel and, you know, shoveling 20 feet of snow sidewalk to try to get in there. So there's just all kinds of every season has a different kind of problem, doesn't it?
We can't plan for everything, but we're problem solvers. We'll figure out one way or another to make it safe for us, make it safe for the person who's calling us, and whatever emergency we're on, to make sure that everybody, we are doing the best we can for everybody.
I want to talk a little bit about carbon monoxide buildup and the importance of smoke detectors. We've had some horrifying stories, not locally, thank God, but space heaters that have caused, you know, people in multi-unit apartments to have apartments burned down, or, you know, people trying to heat their home with an oven or something like that, or, you know, a space heater that was just too close to something that was flammable. What general advice do you have to people? Because a lot of people do use little space heaters to kind of save energy and kind of just warm their little space there, but the trouble with that is if you fall asleep on the couch and then you roll over and your blanket gets touched, yep, touching there, you're unaware of it, and that's a real big problem.
So space heaters, general rule of thumb is, one, plug them into the wall. Don't plug them into extension cords or power strips, because there's a lot of energy being drawn to do that heat, to generate that heat. And extension cords and surge protectors, all those things that are, the wiring in them is not necessarily built to use that much energy, so the wiring is going to heat up and could cause a fire. Two, with the space heaters, make sure that there's a 3 to 4 foot clearance in front of that space heater from whatever, pile of clothes, a couch, a bed. We just had a fire last week that was determined to be caused by a space heater. So, and it was because it was too close to a combustible object. So make sure that space is clear. Make sure it's one of the newer space heaters. I say newer, probably with laws were made a lot older than what I'm familiar with. But make sure that they're the newer space heaters that have a tip over shut-off switch. That way, if it does tip over, it's going to shut off.
Like the dog comes by and brushes it.
Yeah, dog comes by.
Or a little kid runs by.
Yeah, so those are just kind of general rules of thumb that we want to push out about space heaters, making sure that they are operating in a safe manner, and so that way you can still stay warm, but we don't have to worry so much about a fire.
What about electric blankets?
Electric blankets, kind of same rules of thumb is plug into walls, turn them off when you're not using them, things like that.
Now, I had firefighters tell me that you shouldn't really go to sleep with your electric blanket on. You should use it to warm your bed, and then you shouldn't go to sleep with your electric blanket on.
That's probably a good thing.
Well, I'm not going to do that, so I'm ignoring that advice. Okay, I'm one of the idiots that's going to cause problems for you later today, okay? Why should that dummy over there in the parking lot and that idiot that smoked at Blessing Hospital be the only idiot you have to contend with today? I can have to take up my share of public resources, too. But probably, like you said, it's just a bad idea. You get all tangled, you know, if you roll a lot or something, you can get that blanket can get overheated.
Yeah,
and you may not feel that because you're asleep.
Or it's a shock hazard. It could wear some of those electrical connections apart, and then you could ultimately get shocked by it. So probably follow manufacturer's instructions on it. You know, that little booklet that you open up something and you just throw it in the trash, maybe just browse through that real quick and see, hey, probably shouldn't sleep with this.
I think you have to know what your sleeping style is, because my husband has had the same electric blanket. We kind of sleep in the same bed, but we have separate, you know, domiciles. Like, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. Don't bother me. And he has an electric blanket that he's had for years. And I go through, like, two a year, because I'm a tornado. And then I tear up all the cords, and I rip it all up, and then it doesn't work. My electric blanket last year lasted 5 days. That was it. And my husband said, hey, we're done. You just got to pile on. So now when I go to, it looks like the Princess and the Pea. You know, I've got 18 layers. He's over there with just his electric blanket, sleeping smoothly in his little envelope. He never rolls. He never turns over. I'm over there like the tornado with 18 layers. If my house would catch on fire, you'd have to come in and rescue me, because I'd be like a burrito, you know, trying to get out. So please, is there a special tag I can put? You know, you used to have, like, I have a pet inside or I have a child inside. Is there a, like, I sleep like a burrito, come in and rescue me tag that the Quincy Fire Department could put out for me? I really need that.
I don't think we have one of those, but just know that we are prepared to go in and rescue. When we go to a fire, we do expect that there to be victims. We do expect that someone is in there. A fire started somehow. An abandoned building, no power, no gas, anything
something
like that, just doesn't catch fire. Mm-hmm. And so we expect that there's going to be someone there, especially in the middle of the night when we show up, we see cars parked in the driveway, a porch light on or something like that. There's probably someone in there, and we're going to go in and we're going to go find them. That is our job. We're here to save lives and property.
Okay. Well, Bernie Valcamp, before you leave, I think this one thing you ought to do is have a burrito notice. You know, my wife sleeps like a burrito. Please come in and rescue her. Before we let him go, I think we ought to have Zach Valcamp say a few words. Zach, tell us a little bit about your firefighting career. How long have you been on the force?
Yep, so I've been on about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
So, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. I'm loving it. I'm learning a lot from the guys. And I'm just really happy that I was able to do this job.
You know, the third generation of doing something like that, that's kind of interesting. I followed my father into his profession, too. And my dad always gave me great advice, but he was never my direct superior. Well, obviously, the chief is your direct superior, but there's probably a whole bunch of, you know, chain of command things. He doesn't get all up in your grill. There's probably a whole bunch of things to protect you.
Yeah, we've
you
got
from
a lot of people between us. With him being the chief, I've got my lieutenant, captain, assistant chief, so.
But you don't have it on Saturday night.
No, Saturday night. No, still get in trouble there.
Now, Mary Kathleen, if I had to do it, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, okay, Dad, thank you. At least you're not going to fire me or hire me. That's okay. So you always wanted to do this?
Yeah, so growing up, I obviously seen my dad. Always admired him, looked up to him. Went off, I did another job for about 2 years after I graduated college, and wanted to move back home, and I had applied for the fire department, so I was on the list. So eventually I just decided I'm going to move back home and become a firefighter.
Well, let's talk about that, because I remember when I got one of my first jobs, I worked with my father. He did not hire me. He did not even know I was coming to work there. He was quite shocked that I was hired there. Do you get any kind of you know, jostling because, well, they had to take you, like Animal House. I'm a legacy. You had to take me. You had to pass a test and do all that other stuff. You didn't just say, my name is Val Camp. My grandpa or my great-grandpa was the fire chief. My dad's the fire chief. I get to be on, right? You didn't
I had to go through all the tests, same interview process as everybody else. But, yep, I definitely get my fair share of flack from the other guys, jokes about it, all in fun. I enjoy it. But.
Well, they all know they had to take the same test, too. So,
yeah.
And you really have to look out for each other. So there is no way, you know, Brian Meyer, you know, as much as you like Zach Valcamp, there's no way you'd want to be a firefighter just because he wants to be a firefighter. You've got to make sure he can protect you and you can protect him, right?
Yeah, we're all looking out for each other. And that's, I mean, it's a brotherhood. And we just want to make sure that, you know, the truck coming in behind us. If I'm the first engine company into a fire, I feel confident knowing that the truck behind me can come in and can come help us out if we get into something real bad. So it's a brotherhood. We all trust each other. Whatever disagreements we have with each other, personally or whatever, all that stops when that alarm call. When
I was
going to
say, because I bet there's some really great poker games or watching television when the alarm goes off or you're having a really heated discussion about something. And
there's almost 60 of us on the department. You're not going to find 60 guys that all have the same opinions about anything. And
or who's the best cook?
Yeah.
Right. And,
spaghetti again?
And when that alarm goes off, all that stuff is just put by the wayside and we're there for each other.
Okay, well, get the burrito notification for the front of my house. And also, Zach, if you're ever out and you see a woman in 18 rolls, like hopping away from the flames, please, you know how you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll? Just throw yourself on me. I'm already rolled.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just roll me down a hill and I'll take myself out of the equation, okay?
Yep.
Thank you so much. Great to meet you. So nice to get to... I am so old, folks. This is really getting scary. Yeah, I'm his grandpa's contemporary. Not even his dad's contemporary. I'm his grandpa's contemporary. And Brian Meyer, always great when you come by, no matter who I think you were or was or did in a future life or we knew each other in six lifetimes ago. It's always great to see you. Now back to work, both of you.
All right, okay? Thank you.
You've got work to do here. Thank you. Well, I've already broken the cardinal rule of the Mary Griffith Show. When a guest comes on to talk about one thing, you're not supposed to grill them about other aspects of their life. So Shelley Arnes is not here in any way to represent the Quincy Public School District as president of the Quincy School Board. However, I couldn't help but ask her a few questions while we were there in the commercial break.
It's okay. Happens all the time.
Hey, Quincy had school today.
They did.
I bet
we
you
did.
Feel sorry for some of these rural districts. They are really struggling. Because
it's been a rough week.
I mean, it's a small percentage of the kids, but if they can't all get to school,
right,
you can't have school just for those who don't live on a country road.
Right,
so
right.
I know Lewis County really suffers,
right,
to the point where, you know, frankly, you know, if I lived in Lewis County, I'd be talking to the county board about we have to do something,
right,
to get these roads in better shape.
Right,
because,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you can't, one year they missed like 22 days of school or something.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
we're not here to talk about the school district.
No, but
although,
we always want our kids
want,
to be, yeah, we always want
we
them to be,
the
safe,
to be safe.
And we always want parents to have the final say in whether they feel it's safe for their child to travel to school. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Well, having never had children and my husband just retiring from being a bus driver, I know that he realizes that most parents want their kids to go to school,
yeah,
because
right. Well, they have jobs.
Well, they have,
yeah,
jobs, or I've got a free day.
Right.
Get them out of here. Take them from me. So we're going to here today to talk about Encore from,
yes,
the Quincy Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. Encore is the fundraising arm,
right?
And you are in what capacity with that group? Are you a high potentate?
Well, I have been in the past. This year I've kind of taken a step back just because of all of the busyness with the school board. So naturally, it comes up a lot. But, you know, I've been part of Encore for the last 11 years.
Great.
And I've done all different kinds. I've been president, secretary, recording secretary, chairman of Fairy Tale Tea, which is what we're here to talk about
today. I always
had
to be recording secretary because I,
yeah,
had good penmanship.
Right.
That was back in the days when, you know, you're like, oh, forget it.
Right.
Hey, are you ever going to do that tree thing? What was that thing called?
The Symphony of Trees.
The Symphony of Trees.
Right.
That was so great. I mean, I know you can't keep doing it all the time because... But it's been,
yeah,
a while.
It has. And in fact, I don't think ever since I've been on Encore, we haven't had a Symphony of Trees. It kind of phased out, it really takes a lot of volunteers and effort. And I think for a while we were kind of down in numbers and overall, you know, active volunteerism.
Right.
And so,
you've got to get the businesses to put together a tree, and then you got to sell the tree, and you got to deliver the tree. And,
right.
I mean, but it was such an event.
I know. It was awesome.
I know. It's really fantastic. But now you've come up with something that is great. Because, again, it does take some work and some effort by your Encore volunteers, but the Fairy Tale Tea. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Yes. When is it? Where is it? Why is it? And who should come to it, please, Shelley Arnes?
It is on Saturday, February 22nd. We'll have two seatings, 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m., and it's held at the Spring Lake Country Club. And who should come? Anyone that loves to be a princess or a prince for the hour and a half.
I think a lot of parents, but I think especially grandparents.
Oh, yes.
Like to bring their little princes and little princesses.
Absolutely.
And again, the boys can dress up like Shrek or Donkey or, you know, the girls always want to be a princess.
Right.
That's pretty
right.
standard.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be, what's the lady from The Mermaid that, you know.
Ariel?
No, she's she's the princess.
Oh, Ursula?
Ursula,
Oh,
most little girls don't want to dress up like Ursula.
We haven't had any of those yet, but there's always time. But we do have Prince Charmings, and we really especially love it when daddies bring their daughters or sons to come. Oh, my, that is just so fun.
It is fantastic. That's why you have two seatings, because this Fairy Tale Tea is a magical moment, I think especially for daddy's daughters. That doesn't mean that mothers can't come, that grandmas can't come, that you can't bring multiple children.
Right.
They don't have to. But there is something very magical about the grandpa or daddy-daughter kind of event.
Yes.
So tell us what happens at Fairy Tale Tea. We get dressed, the little ones get dressed up in however they want to represent whatever fairy tale they want to do.
Yeah, whatever princess or whatever role they want to play for that moment in time. We really have to give a lot of kudos to the Cheryl Kaiser dancers, because they are the ones that really put on the dances for the kids to partake in. And it's all done in such a magical way where they arrive and everyone is just so excited that the princesses are there and princes. There are some boys as well that dress up as the princes. But when they arrive, they'll have crafts at their table. Sometimes they do tiaras. Sometimes they do fairy wands, coloring pages, just different things to kind of occupy them as everyone gathers. There will be food to eat. At the morning session, it'll be more breakfast food, like a muffin, something like that. And at 11:30, it'll be like maybe a grilled cheese and some vegetables and yummies. But then when the princesses arrive is when the magic happens.
So the actual princesses come.
Yes.
And these are the Cheryl Kaiser dancers.
Yes.
And they escort these princesses.
Yes.
They're friends of the Cheryl Kaiser dancers, who are very close with these princesses, as I am personal friends with Mrs. Santa Claus. And so these young girls who may be dressed up like one of them get to meet their real counterpart.
Exactly. We have a lot of bells. Usually from Beauty and the Beast.
See, the boys
could
be the Beast.
They
could
be
the Beast. Shrek. There's so many fun roles for boys.
There really are.
I think a lot of times we get to thinking that this is, you know, they hear about the princesses all the time.
Yeah.
But one thing I think that Disney's been really good at lately is, even with Frozen, you know, they had the moose or whatever he was. And they had the lumberjack or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have kids.
Olaf.
And you could be a snowman.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be anything.
Yeah.
It's a fairy tale. So
we will have Elsa and Anna there.
All the way from the Arctic North.
Right. This is
perfect for them. They probably said yes.
She's making her arrival a little early.
Absolutely.
But it's just a really fun time. And, you know, I think just them interacting with the princesses, they get to have a little autograph book where the prince and princesses will sign for them, and they get to keep that. And so just little touches, pictures with them throughout. It's just really a special moment.
It's a special magic moment. And, you know, it's such a fleeting age.
It is.
I mean, what is the wheelhouse? What are we looking at for kids here? Are you talking about 4 to like 12? Are you talking 4 to 11?
Typically we advertise it as pre-K to 5th grade.
Okay.
But I mean, whatever age you just want to be a princess is fine with us. We have a lot of adults that come dressed up, so it's fun.
Well, that's
too.
Good.
Right.
That is absolutely great. So how do we get tickets for this soiree? Because it sells out every year.
It does.
I mean, it's almost like I'm not trying to, it's almost like you could do three sessions.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's like, shut up.
Yeah. You know, early on, I'm trying to think if we did 1 year. I feel, the very first year we did it, we were running like crazy people trying to just, you know, reset everything in between sessions.
Well, I think
sessions.
Before you figured out you could have two sessions, you kept just adding and adding and adding. It's like, wait a minute, we should have, next year, let's do two.
Yeah, and we realized like the closer they are to the action, the better. So, you know, previously we had expanded attendance all the way to like 100 and some people, but we had to have them in the back room and you really couldn't see everything. You couldn't see the dance floor. So right now we try to keep it so every table can see the dance floor and what's happening. Even though the characters might be mingling around, it's something about being able to see where the action is, right?
Sure.
So they can get tickets at our website, which is www.encorequincy.com.
Quincy spelled all the way out.
Quincy spelled all the way out.
Okay.
And if you go to events, then you will see our fairy tale tea.
And how much is a ticket?
$30 a piece.
Okay.
And every child needs to have a parent with them. So it's a minimum of two tickets.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
But you could bring two children with one parent.
Absolutely.
Okay. But it's $30 a piece, no matter how many people come in your family. But again, I know people in my family have taken their granddaughters to this. And it is a very magical thing.
Right.
It's that fleeting moment in time when they believe.
Yeah.
And they think that Grandpa is just the best thing in the world because they wanted to meet Ariel their whole life.
Yes.
And Grandpa's going to make that happen.
Yeah. The sparkle in their eyes is just amazing. We as volunteers, this is our favorite event by far of any. And I think coming from Symphony of Trees, that breakfast with Santa, the teddy bear breakfast was a part of that. And so we realized just taking that one part of the Symphony of Trees was a doable thing for us. So.
Well, I just, you know, I volunteered at Symphony of Trees for years, and I just remember, yes, it was an exhaustive amount of work. And after a while, it runs its course.
Yeah.
Because the idea is you're supposed to buy these trees. Well, the trees don't go away.
Right.
So if I'm spending $400 for a designer-decorated tree, I ain't buying another one next year. And you had it like every other year. But these things run their course. But there's always a chance for them maybe to come back or be in a different, you know, maybe a watered-down version. I don't want to say watered-down, but, you know, something that's a little bit more. You don't have to have a 65. I mean, 1 year, didn't they have like animals from the St. Louis Zoo on this tree?
Oh, wow.
And you probably don't remember because you weren't.
I know I was out of town. So, between 91 and 2005, I wasn't local.
The Oakley Lindsay Center had this tree. I mean, it was enormous.
Yeah.
And it had all these stuffed animals on it.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was.
The designer's ideas were, I loved it. I the last year I think we had Symphony of Trees, I was lucky enough to get a tree that was designed by one of my favorite people in the world, Patrick Peters.
Yes, he always did the
And
tree.
Yes, he did the Santa's haberdashery, which was a pile of Santa hats. And so we had that displayed for years and years and just loved it.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's recap again.
Yes.
It is the Fairy Tale Tea. It is put on by the Encore, which is the fundraising arm of the Quincy Symphony Chorus and Orchestra. And they do need money to buy music and to provide training for young people. Mm-hmm. And they have their children's concert. So give us the date again.
Saturday, February 22nd at Spring Lake Country Club. There are two seatings, one at 9 a.m. and one at 11:30 a.m.
And whichever seating you choose, it is $30 per person. You can come as an adult with multiple children, or you can just come in a pair.
Right.
It's fantastic. And I would encourage, you know, if you've got a boy in your family, dress him up like Shrek. Dress him up like Donkey.
Absolutely.
I mean, why should it only be for the girls?
Right.
One
more thing. We do seat according to, as the
reservations come in.
Right.
So first come, best seating.
And we do arrange seating so that they don't have to come early and stand in line on that Saturday.
It's reserved.
It's reserved. Exactly.
That is super smart. And so if you want to be, like if you're a grandpa and you want to be with all three of your princesses, you got to get it all together.
Exactly.
And if there's multiple grandpas, then they want to share some kids, then, you know, that has to happen.
Right. We put groups together if they request to be together.
That is fantastic.
Yep.
That is so fantastic. Well, I know my friend Mrs. Claus, when she was out at St. Dominic's, Dominic's school earlier this year, she got to meet not only Paul Stegeman's little granddaughter, but she got to meet Jim Obert's little granddaughter, who are the same, one and the same.
Oh.
And, you know, Mrs. Santa Claus, both those boys went to St. Dominic's, and she remembers bringing them toys when they were little. So Jamie was pretty impressed that she was like the, you know, third or fourth generation served by St. Dominic's, by Mrs. Santa Claus.
What a legacy the Clauses
have. I know.
Have.
The Clauses and St. Dominic are very close.
Right.
I think back when St. Nicholas was first a little boy, he went to St. Dominic's school, and then he moved to Germany. That's probably not known too much by anybody.
Right.
Shelley Arnes, you're delightful. You do so much for our community. Thank you for all your volunteer. Are you retired now? Is this what you do just all the time?
No.
You just do nothing but this?
No, I have to go scoop snow after this.
But you
have
a
job? Rental property. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. You
do. We manage rental property for WC Holzcraft Construction Company.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you...
Yeah.
You work for a living. So I always thought she was just a lady who lunched. And she had all this time to do all this volunteer work. Boy, I give myself an education.
I do have a more flexible schedule than when I was a teacher, for sure.
Except when it snows, you got to shovel snow now.
Exactly.
I'll get to that in June.
Yeah, right.
Maybe not one of the landlords you want to have, if
right.
that's their attitude.
We try to be attentive.
That's right. Saturday, February 22nd, it is $30 per person. It is perfect for the 3-year-old up to about the 12-year-old age range. The older kids can really get excited if they help the little ones believe in everything, you know, and it's hair and makeup and all the whole bit, and they'll make a craft and they'll have the food, and everybody will have a good time. Go to EncoreQuincy.com, Encore, E-N-C-O-R-E, Quincy.com for tickets, and they will sell out. So I would encourage you to get them immediately, because as soon as this event happens, everybody, it's such limited seating. Everybody wants to be part of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so very much for coming
by. Thank you, Miss Mary Griffith.
Now go get out and, hey, as long as you're good at shoveling, see that little place right there where it's kind of snowed in? Get it wide enough for me to get through there.
I'll work on that.
Okay.